Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu salam ala rasulillah. In the last dars, we kind of got cut off at the end, so I'm going to revise a little bit. Regarding the issue of aqran and mudabbaj, we covered this, alhamdulillah, but just to revise and to summarize. This is a very important science. As Shaykhun Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, said, to know that there is no switching iqlab in the sanad. This is the beauty of Islam. This is one of the khasais. This is one of the special characteristics of Islam, is the precision in reporting. We don't want to attribute to the Prophet ﷺ that which the Prophet ﷺ didn't say. So we check not just the wording of the hadith, but the sanad of the hadith and the placement in the hadith. If we see names have been switched, places have been switched, then we know there is a mistake. And we want to make sure that we don't have mistakes. So in this, we have aqran, yani when narrators were close together in age, or they sat in the same gathering of scholars and who they met, so they are close. But sometimes one will report from the other and the other will report from them. This is called mudabbaj, right? So mudabbaj is a type of aqran. Aqran means that they're similar, but doesn't necessitate that they reported from each other. So this is why Ibn Hajar Asqalani says regarding this issue to memorize, فَكُلُّ مُدَبِّجْ أَقْرَانٌ وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ أَقْرَانٍ مُدَبَّجًا. Beautiful. And we mentioned this before, but I want the tulab to memorize this. So every mudabbaj hadith will be aqran, because aqran is a more general term. That just means that they were together in their either age or in their sitting or their same halaqa, same sitting with the scholars, or so on and so on. But every aqran hadith is not mudabbaj, because what is mudabbaj is when they both reported from each other. I'll give you an example. A talib ilm sits with a particular sheikh, another talib ilm sits with the same sheikh. They're sitting in the same halaqa, talib A and talib B. طيب? But those talab then go and study from other people. So maybe talib B and goes and studies from a sheikh somewhere else, learns some ahadith. Now talib A and talib B both report from the sheikh, but then talib A also reports from talib B other ahadith. So this is aqran. But if talib A goes and studies some other ahadith, and now talib B is reporting from talib A some ahadith, they're both reporting from a sheikh some ahadith, and talib A is reporting from talib B other ahadith. So looking at this without knowing their biographies, it may seem that there's been some switching in the sanad. But if you go and check and we find out, and this is the precision the ulama of hadith went through to make sure that who was who and who reported from who and how many ahadith each one learned, such a beautiful thing. Sometimes we find tadlis like this. For those of us that are yani actually using this science and checking asanid, you find, because you have a talib and another talib report certain amount of ahadith from a particular sheikh. And we know from their biography, this sheikh, for example, read 50 ahadith in this halaqa and then he left the city. And then those tulab report another hadith from that sheikh that we know he did not recite to them, and they use an, for example. And then we find out that no, there is tadlis. They didn't actually hear that hadith from this sheikh, even if they heard others. And we found out, no, from other asanid that there was actually a weak narrator and so on. So this is a very practical science. It's not as easy as Sahih and Da'if and this, no. But it's actually used in the scientific research done in checking asanid. Tayyib, so Aqran and Mudabbaj. We covered this. This is just a quick revision. In Rawa Amma Dunahu, if somebody reports from somebody lesser than them, what does that mean? Lesser than them in knowledge, lesser than them in age, and so on. If somebody's reporting from somebody that, looking at the base of it, it doesn't make sense why they're reporting. Somebody who's older is reporting from somebody who's younger. For example, فَأَكَابِرُ أَنِ أَسَاغِرُ. Then this is called where the akabir, the older, is reporting from asagir, from the younger or the lower. وَمِنْهُ الْآبَى عَنِ الْأَبْنَى. And from that is the science called the fathers reporting from their children. وَفِي عَكْسِهِ كَثِيرَةٌ يعني كَثْرَةٌ. And the opposite of that is the usual case. What does that mean? Usually, a child will report from his father. A student will report from his teacher. And if we see it flipped, then we think, you know, there could be what is iqlab. Yani there has been something switched. But that's not always the case. There are some times where somebody older studies from somebody younger, or a teacher learns a hadith from his student, or a father from his son or grandson even. But this is not the usual case. This is why Ibn Kathir says that the katra, the usual case is the opposite, where the younger will report from the older. وَمِنْهُ مَنْ رَوَى عَنْ أَبِيهِ وَعَنْ جَدِّهِ. And from that are those who reported from their father, from their grandfather. طيب. So let's talk about this now, on this science of looking at those who reported from their youngers. In it, and I took some notes from one of my older durus, and I wanted to make some examples. These are the rawayat on the akabir and al-asagir. One of the ones that I noted myself, and this is when I was studying just to make notes of examples, is when Imam al-Zuhri and Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari report from Imam Malik. Tayyib, how is that a case? Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, the great famous scholar, muhaddith, alim of hadith, faqih, from the fuqaha of Medina, he was born in 58 Hijri, very early scholar, and he died in 124 Hijri. He died very early on. But he reports a hadith from Imam Malik. Tayyib, Imam Malik, the great scholar, the Imam of Medina, the great scholar of hadith, he was born in 93 Hijri. So now it shows Az-Zuhri is much older. And Zuhri, many things, was the teacher of Imam Malik. But one of the narrations, one of the methods of reporting Al-Muwatta Imam Malik comes from Az-Zuhri. Where Imam Zuhri, who was a teacher of Imam Malik and older than Imam Malik, but he narrated those ahadith from his student Imam Malik. Imam Malik was born in 93 Hijri. He died in 179 Hijri. Now, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, also somebody who reports from Imam Malik. Many ahadith we find Yahya reporting from Imam Malik, and he died in 144 Hijri. So he also died before Imam Malik. He was also older than Imam Malik. But these imma and ulama reported from those who were younger than them, because Imam Malik, he collected many more ahadith than maybe some of the ones that Imam Zuhri had heard, or Yahya ibn Sa'id had heard. So they reported. So now when we look at the sanad, it doesn't make sense, because Zuhri is a teacher, Imam Malik, and he's older. But in reality, these are not iqlab. There is no switching here. It is true that those are learned from Imam Malik. Then you have those that maybe were not necessarily younger in age, but they may have spent less time with a particular scholar. This is from Nushat al-Nadar, right? So what does that mean? A particular scholar may be reading a hadith. How they used to do in those days is Sufyan bin Uwayna, for example, he read a hadith out to his tulab, and he would just go through each bab or each rawi, however he preferred, and he would read. And those that were there would memorize or write down, depending on the student, and they would go through a bab. And some of them sat with the same sheikh for 20 years, 30 years. And sometimes a person would come and sit for a particular time with that sheikh and then leave. Tayyib. Now, sometimes we have a hadith that somebody who sat with a particular scholar for 20 years does not report from him, but somebody else who sat for a short amount of time with that same scholar, maybe a few months, reports from him. So now, the ulama of hadith, their radar goes off. Wait a minute. How come this hadith was not reported by these tullab who sat with that sheikh for 20 years, but then this other person who only met him for a few months is reporting this hadith from him? Tayyib, sometimes that means there is a mistake and the investigation is needed. Sometimes it's not, and this is what Ibn Hajar is pointing out here. Sometimes what happened, maybe the sheikh is teaching a particular series of ahadith, but he knows more. And this other student that comes from out of town, maybe he asks that sheikh about a particular hadith, and that sheikh recites that to this one who sat with him for a short amount of time, but did not recite that to his other students. Some of these ulama knew tens and thirties and hundreds of thousands of ahadith. So there is a possibility that this is an iqlab. What does that mean? It takes investigation. You need to find other chains. Who else reported from him? Who else sat there? Who else was in those halaqat? What ahadith were read to who? And this is very important to be able to catch such mistakes. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayh, in his sharh, in his explanation, he also says that there are cases where the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum reported from Tabi'un, or somebody that was higher in rank in the ilm of hadith reports from somebody who was lower in rank from them. And he gives an example. Ibn Salah has also mentioned about Imam Malik reporting from Abdullah ibn Dinar, And no doubt Imam Malik is more famous in the ilm of hadith and fiqh and so on. Or Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal or Ishaq ibn Rahway, he reporting from Ubaidullah ibn Musa, even though Imam Ahmad and Ishaq ibn Rahway were greater scholars, but they reported from somebody who was in the standing of hadith and fiqh and so much, no doubt lower than them. But that doesn't mean there's a mistake. That person, Ubaidullah here in this example, Ibn Musa, or Abdullah ibn Dinar knew some ahadith, and these imam ulama didn't know them, so they went and learned from them. And there's nothing wrong with that, like Musa alayhi salam going and studying with Khidr alayhi salam, even though no doubt the rank of Musa alayhi salam is higher. And that is something that we check in ahadith as well. Tayyib, the next is very interesting when you have Sahaba who reported from a Tabi'i. Or, so when you look at this and you're investigating a hadith and you see a Sahabi reporting from a Tabi'i, you think there's a mistake. But that's not always the case. Again, this is why you have to thoroughly research narrators. And this is why ulama of ilm al-rijal, those ulama that are very good, like Shaykhuna Ghulam Allah Rahmati, when we used to sit with him and mention a rawi, from the top of his head, he would know the rawi's narrations. He would say, this rawi, he narrated these ahadith. He was lived in this town. He was from this qabila. Amazing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our imma and ulama who have that love and proficiency in the science. Tayyib, so the example here of akabir and asagir gives the category of also those where fathers narrate from their sons. And I like to give examples to learn. So I'll give you an example that I recorded myself in some of my notes. It's Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the great Sahabi. He took a hadith from Fadl ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. So Abbas, he's the father. Fadl is the son. But there are a hadith where Abbas radiallahu anhu reports from his son Al-Fadl. Tayyib, so how can that be? Abbas radiallahu anhu is older, and he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the beginning, since before Nabuwa. How come? Because Abbas radiallahu anhu, his Islam was secret. So he was in Mecca, and Al-Fadl ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, his Islam was open. So he made hijrah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sat with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Abbas radiallahu anhuma was in Mecca at the time. He didn't benefit from those ahadith. His Islam was secret upon the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When his Islam became apparent, many ahadith he didn't hear because they were in Medina. So he would go to his son Al-Fadl and learn ahadith from him. And Imam al-Suyuti, he mentions one of those examples about combining the salawat and al-Muzdalifa. Abbas radiallahu anhu reports this from Fadl ibn Abbas from his own son. So this is an example of al-aba an al-abna. An example from the fathers reporting from their children. Tayyib, I mentioned one of the examples of this is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum reporting from the Tabi'un. As an example of that is what are famously known as the Abdullahs or the Ibadallahs. These are the famous Sahaba called Abdullah. Their name is Abdullah. They reported a hadith from Ka'b ibn Ahbar radiallahu anhu. And again, why? Because they were very young, most of them, as we'll mention who they are inshallah. And Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he took a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Abdullahs didn't know, so they reported from him. Tayyib, who are the Abdullahs? This is something good for Tulab ilm to know. And there is some khilaf ulama, but in essence, as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal has mentioned, that they are Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhuma, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma. These four are famously known as the Abdullahs. They were ulama, muftis from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Imam al-Nawawi also includes Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as the fifth. And any other imam gave other opinions, but these are the famous Ibadullah. Tayyib. From the Abdullah, they reported a hadith from Tabi'un. For example, if you look at some of the Tabi'un, they were alive during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they didn't meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they met many a Sahaba and they took a hadith from those Sahaba. Other Sahaba, they met those Tabi'un, they themselves had not heard those hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but their sanad goes through a Tabi'i. And this is not something strange. If we look at a hadith, there are so many. Yani the whole life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Nabuwa is recorded in a hadith. Not any one particular sahabi was there for all of that. So some ahadith only Aisha radiyallahu anha reported because they were between a husband and wife. So I mean, there was nobody else there. Some ahadith Abu Bakr radiyallahu anha recorded because he was the one who was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the ghar when there was nobody else but them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching them. So there are ahadith that, for example, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anha knew that nobody else knew. There are ahadith that Aisha radiyallahu anha knew that others didn't know. Sahaba like this, Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, and so on, they would learn these ahadith. So sometimes a sahabi would know a hadith the other sahaba didn't know. So you will find a hadith that the sahaba reported from other sahaba radiyallahu anhu. And sometimes a tabi'i, who's a senior tabi'i, not one of the junior tabi'i, senior tabi'i, he would learn a hadith from a sahabi. The other sahabi had not discussed this issue with this sahabi, so that sahabi learns it from a tabi'i who learned it from a sahabi. Now if we look at, again, the face of it, we see a sahabi reporting from a tabi'i, reporting from a sahabi, we say, wait a minute, there's a mistake. But not necessarily. You have to find out, did this sahabi know a hadith uniquely? Did other sahaba learn this? Who else reported from who? And so on, to check for this classification. Ibn Hajar Asqalani says that the usual case is the opposite. These are the unusual cases, and that is true. And there are those who reported from their fathers, and those that reported from their fathers and their grandfathers. And we see this many a times, and Abihi and Jiddihi and so on, because the knowledge was passed down that way, and that is done. A grandfather would be a sahabi, he would learn these ahadith, and as a good father, he would teach it to his son. His son would then, as a good father, teach it to his son. So the grandson would report from his father, from his grandfather, and sometimes great-grandfather. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, he has written a book on this, which again, it's called Rawayat al-Aba and al-Abna. I have seen a manuscript of the book as well, beneficial work. And in it, he has put together a lot of the works on this to show how many have come forward. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he also mentioned a very important point on this, on the sharh of this. He says that when a rawi reports a hadith and you find a narration from a father from his son, then it will be as if this has iqlab, and this is the initial thought. Because normally we find sons reporting from their fathers, but this is the importance of knowing the science, so you can check if there is something has been flipped or not. Ibn Salah and others have made very beneficial points on this as well, saying that this keeps the ilm of hadith clear from those confusions that people without precision in reporting had put forward. Now, a great scholar, Hafiz Salahuddin, he said about this he put together a large work on this that Ibn Hajar Asqalani has mentioned about the fathers that had reported from their fathers and their sons from them. So meaning all the way to the grandsons. And he put these in different categories of narrators. And he said the most that were continuously reported, meaning son from father, from his father, meaning son, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-grandfather, is 14 generations. That's pretty amazing. This means that a son reports from his father, for his father, from his father, from his father, 14 generations until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this has been recorded in the books of hadith as well, which we find to be something amazing. Tayyib, I want to give some examples. Bahz ibn Hakim, he reports from his father, who reports from his grandfather, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something that is an actual sanad, an example. Bahz ibn Hakim, ibn Muawiyah, his father is Hakim, and then from his grandfather, who is Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So this is one that we find in the books of hadith. Another example is Amr ibn Shu'ayb, who reports from his father, from his grandfather. And this means the reports of Amr ibn Shu'ayb, ibn Muhammad, ibn Abdullah, ibn Amr ibn al-As. So we find that we have here Amr, and then he is the son of Shu'ayb. Shu'ayb, the son of Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Amr ibn al-As. And this goes all the way back. And Imam al-Suyuti gave this example of this as well. Tayyib. Now, if we continue understanding this science, we move forward to a new category, sabiq and lahiq. What does that mean? Those that preceded and those that were reaching, meaning that somebody reports from somebody that may die before them, or there's a huge gap between them. So Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he says, if there are two rawis that share in reporting from one shaykh, tayyib, so now understand the example. There are two students reporting from the same shaykh, tayyib. And once death precedes the other, then this is sabiq and lahiq, tayyib. So there is a gap between the deaths of the two students. So why would this be a concern from us? Because sometimes it may be that both of them were not in the same halaqah, because the gap between them is so far that it would seem that there is a hidden narrator. But that's not always the case. The most that Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says that we have found between two reporters in the terms of death is 160 years. That's very interesting. So now think about this, right? You have a sheikh reporting a hadith, and you have two people that are reporting from the same sheikh, and you're looking at this. You're not there yourself, you're looking at this as a hadith, as a scholar of hadith. And you look up the biographies, and the two reporters who are reporting from the same sheikh died 160 years apart. Well, how can that be, right? So what is the initial thought? This is a mistake. That one of them, yani whoever is the later one, then there has other narrators that he's hiding or was dropped or so on and so on. But Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani is saying that this has happened and this was not a mistake. And he gave the example because Abu Ali al-Burdani heard a hadith from al-Hafidh Salafi, not to be confused with Salafi, it's Salafi, who was one of the shuyukh there, and Abu Ali al-Burdani reported a hadith from him. He narrates from him, and he died in 500 Hijri. Tayyib. And the last one to report from al-Hafidh al-Salafi was the companion of a Salafi and his grandson, which is Abu Qasim Abdul Rahman ibn al-Makki. Tayyib. So Abu al-Qasim, his name is Abdul Rahman ibn Makki ibn al-Hafidh al-Salafi. He is his grandson. So Abu Ali al-Burdani heard a hadith from al-Hafidh al-Salafi, and also al-Hafidh al-Salafi's grandson, Abu al-Qasim Abdul Rahman ibn al-Makki, heard a hadith from his own grandfather. So now when you look at this, look at the death dates. The first one we mentioned is Abu Ali al-Burdani. He died in 500 Hijri. And now Imam al-Hafidh al-Salafi was younger than him. So Abu Ali al-Burdani was older. So he died, but Imam Salafi is still teaching. So when he's teaching at a very old age now, his very young grandson hears a hadith from him. But now Imam al-Salafi dies, but his grandson, he lives his, alhamdulillah, long life, and he ends up dying in 650 Hijri. So here, what do we find in this example? Right? In this example, we find a 150-year gap in the deaths of two reporters from the same narrator. Tayyib. Let me explain that one more time. Abu Ali al-Burdani, he's very old. He goes to a young sheikh, al-Hafidh al-Salafi. He hears a hadith from him, reports them. He passes away in 500 Hijri. Half of the Salafi is young. He continues to teach till he's very old. And one of his last students is his own grandson at a very young age. He takes a hadith from his grandfather. Now, Abu Ali al-Burdani is dead. But here now, a very young man, Abu al-Qasim, and later on he was called Abu al-Qasim, Abdul Rahman ibn al-Makki, he's taking a hadith from his own grandfather. Now the grandfather passes away, Salafi passes away. His son, he lives to be a long, alhamdulillah, long life. He continues to teach, reporting a hadith that he heard from his grandfather. He dies in 650 Hijri. So between these two students' deaths is 150 years. But there is no mistake. This is correct. We look at their biography. This was correct. Another example, Imam al-Bukhari, from one of his students, Abu al-Abbas al-Sarraj, who reports on tariq and the likes. And he died in 256 Hijri. And the last to hear from Al-Sarraj was Abu al-Hasan al-Khuffaf, and he died in 393 Hijri. So between 256 and 393 Hijri, you have that big gap, and so on. This happens, right? And this happened, and usually it happens when somebody very older reports from somebody very younger, because that younger person then continues to teach, and then somebody very, very young reports from that, and then the gap between these two students is very long. But there is no mistake, there is no hidden narrators there, so there is no problem with the sanad. This is a part of, again, the science of hadith that many people ignore, but it's very important when you're checking asanid for that precision. We'll stop here inshallah ta'ala, and we'll continue with Muhammad at the next dars inshallah.